On Monday, we read from your emails. With the first of the season's busy travel weekends behind us, we thought we'd take a look at some of the comments we received during our Ask the Pilot segment last week. Layla Brenner of San Francisco wrote us with a recollection of an overheard conversation, two women talking about their various drug addictions on a cross-country flight. This was a very personal conversation, she wrote, and by the end of the flight, the entire plane had heard these women's life stories. When our flight landed, one of the women turned to the other and said, "By the way, I'm so-and-so." I think it's amazing that two complete strangers could share such personal and tragic information with each other without regard to who could overhear. Many of you wrote to say that air travel is still romantic and exciting. Stuart Clipper of Minneapolis, for instance, "My work has led me to rely on both fixed-wing and helicopter flights in the Antarctic," he writes. "I assure you, there has never been a flight there that has not been fraught with sheer wonder. The pilots don't even get jaded." But if you're looking for wonder a little closer to home, Kristen Williams of Walla Walla, Washington, suggests a flight into Portland International on a clear day. Mount Hood is gorgeous. You can see nearly all the mountains in the Cascades, and the Columbia River winding its way through the gorge is crystal clear. Many listeners also had safety questions, so we've asked Patrick Smith to return. He's the author of Ask the Pilot, Everything You Need to Know About Air Travel, and it's good of you to rejoin us.
Thanks for having me back.
Our first question comes from Dave McAllister of Eugene, Oregon. "I'm always afraid during heavy turbulence, as I stare out my window and see the wing moving, that it will possibly snap off. Could this ever really happen?" So what are the chances, Patrick?
Well, airplane wings are built to flex. The flexibility actually increases the wing strength and also smoothens the ride by absorbing some of the bumps. I've seen videos of the Boeing 777's wings being put through a stress test, and you wouldn't believe the amount of bend they can endure before fracturing. And the kind of turbulence that this requires is something that no frequent flyer experiences in a lifetime.
And a good thing, too. John Barilow of Oakland, California, wrote with another question. "I have heard several stories about jet engines exploding. Obviously, this is something the airlines do not publicize. How common is this?"
Wow. Well, I'm not too sure where to go with this one. This smacks of one of those somebody told me or I heard from somebody kind of things. Commercial aviation is rife with these almost urban mythical accounts of implausible scenarios, and the reliability record for turbine engines is astonishingly good. Remember that planes are certified not only to survive with a failed engine, but even to lift off and climb away with one. Should an engine fail, which rarely as it happens, there are different ways in which that can occur, but exploding is not something I'm really too familiar with.
All right. Lastly, then, from Joe Ostergarten of Portland, Oregon, "Why do pilots feel compelled to point out scenic views on either the right or left-hand side of the airplane to the torment of those who sit on the opposite side and can't see it?" So are you and the co-pilot having a good laugh in the cockpit when you make that announcement?
Well, there are people who do have window seats on each side, so I guess it's for their benefit. In a narrow-body plane, you have a higher percentage of people who can actually lean over and look out the window than on a 747 or whatever, where most of the people are actually in the middle.
Well, thanks very much for being back with us.
Thanks, Neil.
Patrick Smith writes the Ask the Pilot column for Salam.com. His book is called Ask the Pilot, Everything You Need to Know About Air Travel, and he was with us by phone from his home in Boston. And while we're on the topic of travel, our conversation with Joe Queenan about an American's view of Europe prompted many personal stories from our listeners. Jack Landisberg, for one, he wrote with a story about his time in Scotland. "One time while propping up the pub at a bar, I asked a local why the city of Edinburgh, which is spelled Edinburgh, was pronounced Edinburgh, and he replied, 'We're just like you Yanks. You have Pittsburgh, where all the steel comes from.'" And also on the topic of Scotland, David, an Edinburgh native, took issue with Mr. Queenan's take on Glasgow. "While it's entertaining to listen to an American's view of the UK, saying that Glasgow is not a place to visit unless you're in the company of Scots is simply wrong," he writes. "In fact, it's much worse than that, and I hate to visit Glasgow even as I am a Scot. Did your American traveler wear those stupid tartan trousers that only American tourists wear? That's just asking to be mugged. You'd never wear them in Oakland, and they don't work here either." You can send us your comments, questions, and corrections. Our address, TOTN@NPR.org. Please include where you're writing from and give us some guidance on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, Becky Vlamis, Kara Arsenault, and Megan Williams. Brendan Banaszak directs the program. Dustin Dwyer is our production assistant. The interns are Susanna George and Tanya Luma. Kevin Wade is our technical director. He gets engineering help from Vince Muse and Mitch Eaton. Flo Purnell is our editor today. The executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Sue Goodwin. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.